Let's open with hymn number 4.
Justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being.
Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. The Lord is my life and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?
Be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray. O Jesus Christ, thou Son of the living God, who hast given us thy holy word and hast bountifully provided for all our temporal wants, we confess that we are unworthy of all these mercies, and that we have rather deserved punishment. But we beseech thee, forgive us our sins, and prosper and bless us in our several callings, that by thy strength we may be sustained and defended now and forever, and so praise and glorify thee eternally, thou who livest and reignest with the Father and the Holy Ghost, one true God, world without end. The Old Testament lesson for this fifth Sunday after Trinity is found in the third chapter of Lamentations, the 22nd through the 32nd verse. Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man to bear the yoke in his youth. Let him sit alone and keep silent, because God has laid it on him. Let him put his mouth in the dust. There may yet be hope. Let him give his cheek to the one who strikes him, and be full of reproach. For the Lord will not cast off forever. Though he causes grief, yet he will show compassion according to the multitude of his mercies. Here ends the Old Testament lesson. The epistle is found in the third chapter of 1 Peter, the 8th through the 15th verse. Finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers, be tender-hearted, be courteous, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this that you may inherit a blessing. For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. And who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. And do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Here ends the epistle lesson. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon thy servants. O Lord God of hosts, hear our prayer. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The king shall joy in thy strength, and in thy salvation how greatly shall he rejoice. Hallelujah. Gospel is found in the 5th chapter of Luke, the 1st through the 11th verse.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
So it was, as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to push out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." But Simon answered and said to him, "Master, we have toiled all night and have caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net." When they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will catch men." So when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him. Here ends the gospel.
Praise be to thee.
We confess the Christian faith with the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We sing hymn number 494. Thank you. Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied unto you in God our Father and in our Lord Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is found in the 5th chapter of Luke, the 1st through the 11th verse. So it was, as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, and saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." But Simon answered and said to him, "Master, we have toiled all night and have caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net." And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." So when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him. Here ends our text. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, these are thy words. Sanctify us in truth. Thy word is truth. Amen. Beloved of our Lord Jesus Christ, two boats stood by the lake, but the fishermen had left them and were washing their nets on the shore. They had worked all the day, and they had caught nothing. And so they finally gave up. The time for catching fish was over, and all that remained was the cleanup, a thankless chore after such a fruitless night of work. Perhaps you know how Simon and the other fishermen must have felt. You like to think that all of your efforts at home and at work will bear fruit, but often they do not. You spend a lot of effort, and then something goes wrong. Somebody forgets to communicate to you some important detail, or perhaps you failed to read correctly. You have to start all over again and have wasted all your efforts. Now, with our earthly job, sometimes we succeed and sometimes we fail. But there is other work, far more important work, where success and failure is not the difference between a job well done and frustration, but between eternal life and eternal death. You have certainly experienced this yourself also. You have the work before you that your conscience and God's own commandments have prescribed. And you work all the night and all the day struggling to find success in doing good to others and keeping your thoughts from evil, loving your God with your words and your actions. You cast your nets and you hope that you make progress to catch some reward, but in the end, you always have nothing. All your efforts have been in vain. Despite all your toil, you are left at the end, going through the motions, washing your nets, wondering whether you will ever succeed in doing all the good that you should and keeping away all the evil that God forbids. So it is that Jesus finds each and every one of us when he appears on the scene. We have labored all the night, and we have accomplished nothing. Along comes Jesus, and he does not ask to be invited. He does not seek permission. He steps in and he takes over as one who has authority. Now, for these fishermen, he had already shown his authority to them by his miracles and by the teaching in the synagogues of Galilee. And now a crowd of people followed him, hardly giving him room to breathe, much less to teach. Simon also knew of Jesus. His brother Andrew had already made an introduction, as we heard in John 1:40. That was when Jesus had called him Cephas, which is Greek for Peter. In fact, Jesus had healed Simon's mother-in-law not too long before this. And now there was Simon and his partners washing their nets, wondering if they were preparing for yet another fruitless night. But instead, here is Jesus again, stepping into their lives and teaching his word, taking over their business and doing himself what they did not, granting rich success where they had only failure. Jesus comes to you in no other way than this. He does not ask you to invite him first. In fact, once you know just who Jesus is, you will quickly realize that you cannot by any means ask him to come to you. He just walks in and he takes control. He speaks his word and you listen. And when he does this, you have no reason to expect that his word is any different than many other people who speak in this world. Jesus just starts speaking, but his words are different. His words have power. They create peace where there was only dread. They grant life where there was only death. His words are not just words. They are effective words. Because he is the very one who spoke the entire universe into being. But just as Jesus does not come displaying all that magnificence, so also his words do not seem so grand. Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch, he says. What a strange command. Jesus does not say, let me give you a few pointers about fishing. Work harder. You're doing it all wrong. He says, let down your nets for a catch, as if it was a foregone conclusion that now they will catch fish, that his way will triumph, whereas all that they had done so far had failed. Simon acted as the spokesman for the others, as always. We know that James and John were there, probably Andrew too. These men knew Jesus, but none of them called themselves his disciples as of yet. At that time, you would have found very little difference between the fishermen and the crowd who had just finished hearing Jesus preach. For all of them had a great deal of respect for this Jesus of Nazareth. But that was about to change because Jesus himself was about to go fishing. He would catch men. He would catch Simon and James and John. And he would do it not with a net, but with that powerful word. Now at this strange command of Jesus, Simon was skeptical enough. We have toiled all night and we have caught nothing. His trade, after all, was fishing. He knew how to fish. And what did Jesus know of such things? He was a teacher, and he was a good one. He could heal the sick, like he did Simon's mother-in-law. What he says to do now, to let down your nets in the day, during the worst time to fish, when the whole previous night the men had caught nothing, why, it defied all common sense. You see, Jesus does not care much for the common sense of men. He delights in doing what men consider impossible. And indeed, they are impossible. It is impossible to tell the dead to rise. It is impossible to heal the sick with the touch of your hand or just a word. It is impossible to turn water into wine. And it is surely impossible for Jesus to give his body and blood for our sins, or to give us that same body and blood in earthly bread and wine. It in fact is impossible for the infinite nature and power of God to fit inside the body of a man. In fact, despite the respect of the fishermen for Jesus, why ever would they think that this man was indeed the impossible, God Almighty in human flesh? But Simon was not so skeptical that he refused Jesus' invitation. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. And so he did. And then the impossible happened. On a good day, their nets would bring in a fair number of fish, enough to sell at market, enough to make an honest wage. But not like this. This was something beyond a good catch. This was nothing short of a miracle. Their nets were absolutely filled with fish. They were so full that they began to break from the strain, and even two boats were not enough to pull the catch in. They filled the boats, and they were sinking with the weight. This had nothing to do with skill. This had nothing to do with the work of the fishermen at all. They could not do this. This was the word and power of Jesus at work. If you were a hunter, this would be the equivalent of dozens and dozens of deer quietly walking in and laying down and waiting for you to bag and tag them. When Simon saw this, he did not rejoice. He was afraid. Afraid, and he had good reason to be afraid, because he suddenly realized that he was standing in the presence of the Lord of hosts. He fell down at Jesus' knees and he said, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." This was not mock humility on Simon's part. He meant it. "This is no place for you, O Lord. You must not know what kind of a man I am, or you would not be here." You see, the glory of God is like a burning fire to man's dry branches. We have no way to delight in his glory, because it would destroy us. The vision of that holiness caused all of the patriarchs and the prophets who saw it to cower. They fell down on their faces, having every reason to expect that they and all of their sin would be consumed. And now, even when that glory was hidden in the humble frame of Jesus, even a glimpse of it, acting in grace, brought Peter to his knees. He could not delight in the extravagant gift of fish. All he could think about was his sins. But Jesus knew what kind of a man Simon was. And yet Jesus was still there. And what is more, he had no intention of going away. He said to them, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." Our lives, too, are no place for Jesus. We are tainted. We are sinful men. He is holy and good. He is too good for us. Look at your worth. We have truly labored all the night and we have got nothing. All of our efforts have been in vain. But Jesus comes to us anyway. "Let down the nets for a catch," he says. And though our reason tells us that it is fruitless, at his word and only at his word, we reach out with the hand of faith as with a net. And Jesus does not give us a small token of his favor. He utterly overwhelms us with his mercy and love while we are yet in our sins. What he gives us is beyond reason. All we can do is stand there, or rather kneel there, and be astonished. We could say, "This is too much, Lord, for I am a sinner." But he knows that already. He knows that you have toiled all night and you have caught nothing, that all your works and efforts have been in vain, that your head is full of foolish and evil thoughts, and that you have nothing good to offer him. And in spite of all of this, he fills you with his love and his life. He gives to you freely his body and blood, the complete and total forgiveness of all your sins, and a place in heaven, and an honored place, in fact, with an inheritance as adopted children. And under the weight of all of his mercy and goodness and truth, your nets break. The very means by which you thought to secure your own future, by your own labors, comes to an end. Your nets no longer matter. You have everything already, because Jesus has given it to you. You thought to labor, casting your nets to show your worth to God, and instead, God cast his net, his word, and he has caught you and given you everything. Do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men. The disciples brought their boats to shore, and they forsook everything and followed Jesus. Jesus had caught them with his word. And he still catches us with his word, because he has sent his disciples out to catch men with his word. He instituted his holy ministry in the church, so that his words would continue to catch men until the end of the world, and so that the extravagant grace and mercy of God would continue to come to his people. And so it comes to you still, while you are still in your sins. And your right response is to do what Peter did, to fall down at Jesus' knees after having seen his grace. May the forgiveness of your sins, life, and salvation which he has given to you on his cross continue to overwhelm you with the grace and mercy of God. Amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord of all power and grace, whose eyes are on the righteous and whose ears are ever open to their prayer, to their cry, hear the prayer of thy people as we come unto thee now in thankfulness for the mercies which thou pourest down upon us new each day. We thank thee for the daily and manifold miracle of supplying the needs of all creatures, great and small. Make us mindful that thou art the source of our daily bread, even as thou hast granted us life. We praise thee for the gift of thy Son, Jesus Christ, whom thou didst send to be the Savior of the world. Grant that we may believe in him with all our hearts, knowing that all our righteousness is found in him. Help us to obey his commandments with a willing mind and to love him with a true heart. We remember our great sinfulness before thee. We repent of our iniquity. Do not consume us by thy wrath, but for the sake of thy Son, Jesus Christ, forgive us, that we may know the joy of salvation, of thy salvation, and ever live to praise thee. Grant us thy Holy Spirit, that we may produce the fruits of righteousness. May he endow us with unwavering faith, so that we are ready always to do thy will. Through thy Spirit, grant unto us every good and perfect gift, that we might dwell in wisdom, virtue, and brotherly love. Grant grace, peace, and truth in thy church. Raise up pastors who will seek souls for salvation, forsaking all selfish concerns and following the word of thy Son. Defend and preserve thy servants wherever they may be suffering for thy name's sake, and replenish them in faith, strength, and courage by the graces of thy Son. For the nations of the earth, we pray, subdue terror and tyranny everywhere, and call forth leaders who shall acknowledge that thou art Lord over all the earth. Bless our own land. May it ever follow that which is good, and forsake all that is wicked, that our people may prosper in uprightness and integrity. Hear, O Lord, the cry of the afflicted. Grant them help in body and soul, and save them for thy mercy's sake. And as we are but pilgrims in the world, uphold us and bring us all in due time to our heavenly home. Receive now these petitions in the name of the Prince of Life, Jesus, our dear Lord. Amen. We sing hymn 417.
Now
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, almighty everlasting God. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom, and the
Lord Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. partake and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace. We sing the Nunc Dimittis. give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endureth forever.
We give thanks to thee, Almighty God, that thou hast refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we beseech thee that of thy mercy thou wouldst strengthen us through the same in faith towards thee and in fervent love toward one another, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end.
Amen.
We sing hymn number 408. Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Good morning. to have the Beckers come this morning. And always glad to see them. Were you traveling through, or did you come just this morning?
No, we came last night.
Okay. All right. Well, we have just a brief announcement regarding that pulpit, which we wanted to meet briefly with after the service. Most of you, I don't know if Bruce, you got a chance to see the email. I forgot to send it to you guys. I'm sorry, there's an old Reformed church up in North Branch that has shut down because the pastor was preaching against decision theology, and so basically the church went defunct. Anyway, it's a gorgeous pulpit, honey pecan colored like the altar, with the kind of a half octagon size, and it would be perfect for, and it's on wheels. And the general consensus seems to be that it was a great deal. It looks beautiful, and it would serve us basically forever, you know, as long as we'd ever need a pulpit. So anyway, you just have a quick meeting after that to make it official. So any questions? I saw somebody. All right. All right, we'll follow up with Bible class then.
Yeah, Stephan, you need to remember that part of your duty as acolyte is to check the wicks before the service, because a lot of those wicks are getting too long.